Welcome to the Sunday night. Oh, forgot about that part. Welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and is a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Yvonne, a compulsive overeater. Welcome, Yvonne. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. And thank you, Jessica, for inviting me to be here. It is a privilege to be able to come and share my story with you all. It's a story that I could have never imagined before I was actually inside the rooms. So that's, you know, a miracle and a blessing for me in itself. So I'm going to start kind of just with some details of who I was before I was in program. So I'm 62 years old. I've been in OA since February of 2022. So just coming up on 3 years in the program. My top weight is 265 pounds, and I'm currently maintaining a weight loss of 115 pounds. So I am definitely qualify as a compulsive overeater. I came into OA after yet another failure in a weight loss management type program and a food addiction program, which was not based on the 12 steps. I was able to be abstinent from flour and sugar for 11 months under that program, but I went through a series of events. In fact, it's kind of timely. I'll share that my husband was in the hospital, went into the hospital, and he asked me if I would stop and bring him a bran muffin for breakfast the next morning when I saw him. And so, of course, six bran muffins was cheaper than one. And there they were in my home overnight. And needless to say, I picked up one of those and had them before returning with one to the hospital for my husband, which, if you do the math, still left four at my house. So that was the beginning of the end. And it was, you know, my food before I came in, it was highly secretive. I never told my husband I broke my abstinence. He knew I was in a food addiction program. I spent Christmas with his family sneaking in and out of the kitchen, grabbing little bits of this, little bits of that, making very sure I never took enough that anybody would notice that a piece was gone. And by the time February rolled around, I was going through fast food drive-throughs. I was stopping at gas stations to buy junk food. And I knew I was right back into the throes of compulsive overeating, even though I didn't call it compulsive overeating at that point. And I knew I had to do something. And I had been promising myself since January that I would try Overeaters Anonymous. I'd heard about it through this other program that I was in. But I was a little bit scared off. People were like, oh, weighed and measured food plan, can't make changes to your food plan without talking to your sponsor. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go try it. But I'm not agreeing to any of that. Like, that's crap. There's no way I'm going to have all those restrictions put on me. But I came, and it took me a while. I spent the first couple of months going to a lot of meetings and trying to figure out where to get the information that would allow me to work the 12 steps on my own. I wasn't particularly interested in the fellowship. I certainly wasn't willing to risk getting a sponsor. The thing with a sponsor for me was, I thought, if I ask somebody and they say no, I'm going to be humiliated. It's going to be a personal rejection of me if I'm not able to find a sponsor. And it's like, I look back now, it's so easy to connect the dots when they're behind you, but when you're trying to see the road that's ahead, you just ha have no way. But I see now that, I did actually have that experience with the per first person I asked to be my sponsor. They gave me a whole bunch of outline of what their expectations were. I sent back a list of questions, and there was no answer back. So it was like, oh, I didn't know what I didn't know what was going on. And so I spoke with somebody else, and I did. That person ended up being my sponsor. When I reached back out to the other person, to let them know I had found a sponsor, I inquired as to why they didn't answer my questions. They said, well, that's all irrelevant stuff. Well, I didn't know it was irrelevant. I'm brand new to this program. Somebody needed to tell me that, you just need to put aside everything you think you know and put your hand firmly in your sponsors and do what's asked of you. And perhaps with an open mind, you might have a new experience. And that is what happened to me. So, step one for me when I was in, the first part was easy, admitting I was powerless over food. I'd spent decades proving that to myself. There was no question that I was absolutely powerless over food. I wasn't quite so willing to say that my life was unmanageable. I had a successful career. I was married. My relationship wasn't like, fireworks and roses, but it wasn't, a hot mess either. I had a relationship with my family. I had lots of friends, so it seemed like my life didn't seem unmanageable to me until I started to dive in more. And certainly by the time I was doing step four, I realized that my life was a lot more unmanageable than what I had been willing to admit to myself. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, the first hurdle to that was admitting that I was insane. And if I wasn't willing to admit my life was unmanageable, you can imagine that admitting insanity was not that easy of a place for me to go either. Again, I could definitely say, yes, around food, insane. Like the behavior was just crazy. But I realized that it didn't matter what I thought. And my sponsor was asking me with every session to say the set aside prayer. I love the set aside prayer. I use the set aside prayer with my sponsees. And I still use the set aside prayer for myself because I still have ideas. I still think I know best a lot of the times. And then just coming to believe in a power, I thought I had a relationship with a higher power. And when I started to read this book with a sponsor, it was like, and go to all these meetings, it was like every time somebody was mentioning God, it was like a body blow. And I thought, when did this happen? And I look back now, and that was just how very blocked I was from any kind of higher power. The food had become my higher power. That is the dictate that I followed. And there was no room for any other kind of higher power in my life. So I started using just words that were comfortable for me, divine, spirit of the universe. And it was, of course, not hard to believe that there was a power greater than me out there. I didn't, have any delusions that I had this great power that I just would had been dreaming, for 40 years for some sort of magic pill where I would wake up and be cured of this disease and magically be skinny and all everything else. Once that had happened, of course, I thought everything else in my life would just fall nicely into place. I thought that was my one and only problem. Surprise. Spoiler alert, it was not. And so I moved on to step three, and this was the first place in the program I really stumbled. My sponsor, when we were at step three, said, okay, next meeting we have together, we're going to get down on our knees together and we're going to say the third step prayer. And I said, oh no, like I'm not going to be getting down on my knees, not for anything or anyone. And she, tried some frothy emotional appeal, to get me to do that. And it was just like, no, I cannot do that. That is just not in my DNA to do. And she goes, well, you're gonna do it. It's just a matter of when. And so it's like, okay. So I went away and had a chance to remember that I had committed that I was going to do what my sponsor asked of me, even if I thought it was crazy, even if I thought it wasn't going to do any good. And that actually, so the next time we met, she said, are you ready to say the third step prayer together? I said, yes, I am. And we got down on our knees together and said the third step prayer. And I'm in a bit of an emotional state right now with everything that's going on in my life, but it was probably the first time that I felt like I was having a spiritual awakening. That was a huge key for me, a huge turning point in my recovery. And I took that step very seriously. I know people say it's just a decision to work the rest of the steps. Don't get hung up on it. I've got the kind of brain that says, if I'm going to make that to me sounded like a vow. I am going to turn my will and my life. And that sounded pretty long term, too. I know we do this program one day at a time, but I wanted to be sure I was ready to make that commitment. And I was, and I did, and it changed everything. The fourth step, wow, I had never done anything like that before. It was, I was worried because, like many of us that are in these rooms, you know, we're perfectionists. We want it to be perfect. We want to know that we're doing it right. We want to make sure the forms are filled out correctly and we have everything we need in front of us. And when I was able to let go of that, set aside everything I thought I knew and open my mind for a new experience. That too was life-changing. I learned that, you know, like before this program, if you had said, are you an honest person? I would have said, I am so honest. Like, I don't know if there are people more honest. Now it's like, oh my gosh. So that gives you an idea of how delusional I was as well, because I was so dishonest with myself, dishonest with other people. And it's why I had this imposter syndrome, this anxiety all the time before this program. People were somehow going to really find out who I was and realize that I wasn't the person that I was making out that I was. And that all tied into this dishonesty that I had. And so that is something that I have to work on all the time. I can still, like, I had an incident not even that long ago where, and it was something totally inconsequential with my sister asking me if I wanted something. If I didn't want it, she would just return it to the store. And before I could even stop my lips from moving, I was telling her that that's okay. I already had some of those and she could return it. I did not have any of those. It just came out. It was like that was an easier answer than saying, oh, no, thank you. I don't need that, which is so bizarre. There was nothing wrong with giving that answer. And yet my brain went immediately to a dishonest answer. So I still have to be on alert for that all the time. And so, step five, I did step five with my sponsor, and took my hour afterward. It took me two sessions. I saved the biggest thing for last. Don't do that. Get the big things out of the way first, because then I had to sit on that until we could have our second session. But it went, you know, it went well. You think that what the things that you're going to say are going to somehow be shocking and that you're going to be the first person who has admitted to these things. And nope, I was not the first person. I'm sure she had heard everything on my four step before. But it was a relief. There was a sense, there was a pink cloud time after my fifth step, just lightening the load, just feeling like, okay, that she knows. If nobody else knows, then my higher power does and my sponsor does. There are two people on this planet who know who I really am. And there was a freeing aspect of that for sure. Six, entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects. That's so interesting. I mean, I live in 6 and 7 now. I still find I'm not always willing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've been going through recently and how recovery helps me deal with that. But I feel like many times, like I get an effect. I get an effect from self-pity. I get an effect from being a martyr. I get an effect from trying to be the person who can do it all, superwoman. And so I'm not always entirely ready to let go of all of those character defects. And I have to keep reminding myself that I made a commitment to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, that I don't need those character defects anymore, that my higher power is going to be putting me exactly where I need to be in every moment. And you know, the good thing is in recovery that I can remember that a lot more quickly and see where I am having those character defects. And continuing in step 7 to go back and say, okay, God, I trust and rely on you and you alone. I'm willing to set that character defect aside. Please help me remove the fear associated with it. Please help me to reach out and ask for help. You know, that's part of, you know, being the kind of person I am. It's like, no, you don't ask for help. Somebody might know you can't do it all on your own. That would be a bad thing. It is not a bad thing, Yvonne. That is why the fellowship is here. That is why your friends are your friends. And so then, yes, of course, I moved into step 8, which was making a list of all of the people that I had harmed. Making the list is easy enough, right? And it's 9 is the scary one when we start to make amends for all of those things. And I'm not going to say I didn't have fear around some of them. I absolutely did. One of the ones I had fear around was a person who I had, you know, harmed very early in my, like I was in my teens. And that person did not want to talk to me. I was able to locate him and reach out, but he was not interested in making contact. And so I had to set that aside and say, okay, that is not meant to be. I cannot force that issue. I'm ready. I'm willing. And that's all that's expected of me in this program is to be ready and willing to make amends if that opportunity presents itself. I, like some, had to make a trip to the grocery store to tell them that I had graciously helped myself to, you know, snacks each time. I don't know what it's like in other areas. We have bulk shopping here, or we did before the pandemic hit. And I would go and just help myself to a little bit of everything. And again, you know, you talk about honesty, right? I never wanted to admit that that was stealing. I was absolutely stealing from the grocery store every single time I went there and filled that little bag, not with a lot. Maybe it was $1 or $1.50 worth of stuff, but I did that for week after week after week for years on end. And so I had to go back to the grocery store, and it was during COVID. So I had my mask on, and I went through my whole spiel, and the manager said, "What?" When I had finished, "I don't think I understand what you're talking about." Oh man. So I had to take the mask down and go through the story again. And of course, you know, he said, "Well, I can't take the money." And so they did have, this is a large grocery chain across Canada. So I was able to make a donation of the money to their charitable children's foundation, which was, I had talk to my sponsor ahead of time to see if that would be acceptable. I suspected that the grocery store would say no. I had heard that before. They can't take the money. So, but I went through my whole list of amends. I made all of my amends. And yeah, there are those 9-step promises started to come through. I won't say they all came through immediately. My intuition is not perfect. I haven't removed all of the fear. All of the fear hasn't been removed from my life. But compared to the mess I was, like I used to wake up in the morning, my whole body would be racked with fear and anxiety before I was even out of bed. And I may or may not be able to tell you what that fear and anxiety was associated with. And now I live mostly anxiety free. And so this year has been interesting. I have had a couple of situations where I've had to deal with anxiety again, and that's okay. I just have to keep turning that over to my higher power, asking for guidance. And so then, we have 10, the continuing to take personal inventory, 11, prayer and meditation, and 12, service. And I live in those steps today. I look and I see when I'm disturbed. A lot of my disturbances are around fear, for sure. But I still have resentments pop up from time to time, although it is, compared to before, it is so much smaller than it used to be. My step 10s are mostly pretty straightforward. I spend time in prayer and meditation every day. I can tell you that I have not done that for the past probably 5 or 6 days. My husband took a fall up, and my husband is in a wheelchair to start with. He took a fall 5 or 6, no, about a week and a half ago. He went into hospital on Christmas Eve day. They diagnosed a completely broken hip. Because he's in a wheelchair, they don't do hip replacements, or they don't recommend hip replacements. So they, on Boxing Day, he had his hip joint removed. And on the day after, he was back home with me, and we're trying to manage this together, and it's a challenge. And so this has been a perfect example of how I'm living in recovery today. Of course, there was fear. I was scared of what was going to happen to my husband. I was, you hear all of the stories, for all of the stories I hear are broken hip and shortly later are ending with death. And so I had that fear that we were going to be, headed in that direction. There was the fear of the unknown surgery, not understanding. I didn't have an opportunity to talk to the surgeon ahead of time. I didn't know what it was going to be like. There was the unknown of being a quadriplegic person having this surgery. They haven't done that many. The surgeon, one of the surgeons, not the one who did the surgery, has been practicing for 20 years. He's done this surgery 2 times on people with spinal cord paralysis. So there's just not a lot of information to go on. And so here we are at home. Pain is significant, trying to manage that, doing the best that we can. And my husband, of course, is cranky. And I know I have to remember, he's not being cranky because I'm doing something wrong. He's cranky because he's scared. He's cranky because he's in pain. He's just trying to find his way too. And so when I got the call from the hospital that he was going into surgery, I had to excuse myself from the table with my family. And I went to the bedroom and I got down on my knees and I said, "God, I put this in your hands. I trust that whatever the outcome of this is the outcome that is intended to be, and that you're going to show us how we manage through this." And so it gives me, I guess, hope and comfort and serenity to know that I'm not alone in this. I have my higher power. Wayne has his higher power. I have the fellowship. I have friends. I have family. I am well supported in this time. I've had so many offers of help. I reached out finally to a friend this morning because I had time to talk, and was able to put voice to some of the fears that I had. And she was able to help me see those things from a different perspective, and that was just so helpful. And I was able to just cry openly for the first time since this has started, because of course I was hosting Christmas at my house. I was trying to get Christmas Eve dinner for 8 on the table, Christmas dinner for 10 on the table, while rushing back and forth between the hospital and home to host my family. And I made it. We made it. Tomorrow is going to be yet another day. Today was better than yesterday was. I am confident that we're going to learn more every day, that he's going to get better, a little bit better every day from a pain perspective and a healing perspective. And if I didn't have this program, I, can only imagine where I would be right now. I would be, elbow deep in a bag of something, and trying to relieve that anxiety and fear through eating something. Well, there is no amount of foods, sweets, treats, anything that is going to make this situation one bit different than it is today. So these steps and recovery help me be able to live in reality, to accept this moment for what it is. And I heard on a call the other day when I have not missed a meeting that I would typically go to during this entire time. I've known I needed it more than anything. And somebody said, I just keep
Minute
repeating
40.
that. Thank you so much. I keep repeating to myself, in this moment, everything is fine. Everything is good. I am safe. And I thought that is excellent. And so I've been saying that same thing to myself. And you know what? In this very moment, everything is just fine. In that moment, he was going into surgery. Everything was fine. Everything was as it's supposed to be. When he's in pain and we're trying to figure out what to do, it's okay. We're here together. We're here together in this. And so that has been this recovery has been just a miracle and a blessing that I can't even say enough about. My life is so different. I did not have any desire to even eat over this. I ate my abstinent meals. On Christmas dinner, it was a meal I couldn't eat a lot of. I didn't care that I was putting cold rotisserie chicken. That wasn't my plan. I had planned to make something for myself hot that I could eat. It didn't happen that way. And you know what? It didn't matter. It was okay. I sat at the table with my family, loving that moment for what it was. And the other thing that's been happening is, or that was happening this Christmas, I had planned. I had put so much planning and effort into this because my sister's husband died in May. So this was our first Christmas without him. And I wanted to be there for her. And I still was there for her in many respects. But of course, she got half of my time, and my husband got the other half of my time. And I had to be okay with that. I could not give either one of them 100% of my time. It had to be shared, and it worked out just fine. And when my sister left yesterday, I said to her, I'm sorry that I didn't have more. She said, this has been an interesting situation. None of us thought we would be here, and you should never apologize for that. Sorry. There isn't an apology required. You did the best that you could, and everybody made it through, and everybody was happy. And it was a good holiday. She said, my mind was, definitely taken off of the fact that I was on my own and was able to focus, her attention on Wayne and getting well. So just to kind of circle back, I just cannot, recommend, if you are new in this room today, I know we had a couple of people who introduced themselves as newcomers. And if there are any more of you out there who haven't introduced yourself formally, this program has the ability to change your life. If you are stuck, if you are struggling, if you are desperate, if you are in despair that your life is never going to be any different, it can be different. It can be different one day at a time. I never thought that I could have a life like this. I thought that I would always struggle with food. I've been on a weighed and measured meal plan for almost, well, let's say 2.5 years, just to make it simple. I've not felt like I was on a diet one single day. I never felt deprived. I felt like I was honoring this temple that my higher power has gifted me with by nourishing it and loving it in the way that my higher power intended it to be. And all of the other stuff, like I thought, we hear all the time, I came in for the vanity and stayed for the sanity. I agree wholeheartedly. I always just wanted to lose the weight. Well, I did lose the weight. You know what? Life still sucks sometimes. But with this program, I've been given a group of people, a higher power, a toolkit that I can use to make it through anything. Like it really is designed for every single thing that's going to come up in my life. So stay in the rooms, find that sponsor, start working the steps, take a baby step and be brave. I didn't like reaching out, but reaching out and really engaging with us is going to be a turning point for you. So with that, I pass and thank you so much for letting me share my story with you guys.
Yvonne, thank you very much. Your story was very inspiring.